Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke, chapter number 7. We'll begin reading in verse number 36. Luke, chapter 7, and verse number 36, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter, which is down through verse number 50. That's a little longer reading than I normally do, but this is a story, and then a parable within the story, and some things that we need to bring to our attention tonight. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 36, the Word of God reads, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, wherefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he returned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I have an interesting account here. Our text tells us about calls him a Pharisee and calls her a sinner. As I read this and looked at the wording, I believe we could sort of say that our text tells us about a sinner man and a sinner woman. One was a little higher class in society. One had a little bit more. One had some things that the other did not have. But they were both sinners. And this Pharisee invited Jesus to eat with him at his house. That's interesting within itself. Because the Pharisees always were those that were fighting against the Lord and trying to trick him and trying to catch him in something that they could accuse him of. But this Pharisee, for some reason, invited Jesus to eat with him, to ask him to come to his house. And, of course, Jesus, the Bible tells us that he went. And as he was there, this woman came in and she had a box of alabaster ointment. And she stands behind the Lord and she weeps. And she washes his feet with her tears and wipes his feet with her hair. She kisses his feet and she anoints his feet. Here we see the attitude of this woman. Yes, that was a sinner, but she was a sinner that realized some things a little differently than the sinner man. And she stands behind the Lord, but and says she did this to his feet. Now, to understand the Eastern or European Eastern culture, when they would go to have a set down meal, or sometimes just when they were around the table, they would not be sitting at a table like we do. They would be sort of like a lounging position, that they'd be facing the table and they would be laying on their side and their feet would be back behind them. And that's why the Scripture says she came in behind the Lord and she was able to anoint his feet and to wash his feet with her tears. And this Pharisee, he was irritated. And the Bible says he talked to himself. It uses a little bit different terminology, but that's what it means. The Bible says here he reasoned within himself. He was talking to himself. Have you ever done that? You ever had in your mind just a conversation going on and say, well, why is that? And you just go on and you ask a question, you answer it, and nobody knows you're having a conversation with yourself. Well, you better understand the Lord knows our conversations. And as Jesus was sitting there with this Pharisee and having this anointing given unto him, and this man is irritated and he begins to reason within himself about this situation, the Lord turns to him and he calls him by name. And he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. Now, Simon didn't understand why Jesus was going to say these things to him, because he probably didn't understand that Jesus knew his thoughts. One of the good studies in the Scriptures to find and to read all the places where the Bible says the Lord perceived their thoughts. He looks and he knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're talking about in the dark corners. And he knows the thoughts of their heart. And the Scripture every once in a while says the Lord knowing their thoughts, or the Lord knowing their intentions, he speaks to them. And here this man is called by name. And he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And in the next verses, Jesus gives this Pharisee a very pointed lesson, one that he could understand this parable or this illustration that he is talking about. In verse 41 and verse 42, he begins to tell about this creditor had two debtors. One owed a lot, one didn't owe so much. And the Lord said, which one do you think loved this man the most, this creditor, which one loved him the most? He said, well, I suppose the one that he forgave more for. And Jesus said, well, you said rightly. And the Lord is setting him up now, and he is getting him in a position, because when he gets to verse 44 through 48, we find out that the Lord takes this lady and the actions that she had, and she compares them to what she did to what he did not do. And all of a sudden, who is going to love him the most? All of a sudden, who's going to have more dealings with the Lord? Is it going to be the woman, or is it going to be the man? Is it going to be the Pharisee, or is it going to be this sinner woman? We find that this man was a host that did not do what many of the hosts did. It was customary to, as you traveled the roads of Israel and Galilee, it was customary when you went into someone's house that they had a place that you would wash their feet, or they would wash their own feet to get the dust off of their feet and their sandals. You know, the Scripture tells us that when we go so far with a person that we can kick the dust off of our feet. That is a passage stating that we can rid ourselves of any guilt because we've done all that we can do to bring them and to get them into the right position with the Lord. And so here Jesus begins to talk to this man. Simon, I've got something to deal with you about. And he said, you see thou this woman? He said, I came to your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet. I came to your house you didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but this woman, ever since the time she has come in the house, she has kissed my feet, representing and showing her attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins have been taken care of. And so we find as time goes here, the Lord is bringing about these illustrations and these stories to this Pharisee, that he would realize that he's not as high up the ladder as maybe he thinks he is. And all of a sudden, this woman that he looked down upon, you know, Pharisees, they always had the attitude of looking down on someone that wasn't just like them. You remember there's another story in the New Testament says that the Pharisees said, I thank God I'm not like that publican. I thank God I'm not like him. And the Lord said, I'll tell you, that man went to his house, the publican went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. And so their attitude was one of looking down. Their attitude was one of having authority over and being able to put things in perspective that would put them in a higher place, in a higher plane. It was the grace of Jesus Christ that he was trying to get this man to understand. Grace. So I want us to think tonight that all we have to offer to a lost and dying world is the grace of God. That's all he had to offer. When he met people, whoever they were, when he met folks, all he offered to them was grace to continue on. So tonight we will think for a few moments upon that subject of what we have to offer is grace. Our Father, I pray you'd bless our time. I pray you'd bless your word and thank you for it. Help us to have clearness of thought and help us, Lord, to have an understanding heart that we might go from this place to realize how precious the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is in our life and can be to everyone that would call upon Him, everyone that will believe. He will in no wise cast out. He will draw them to Himself whereby they might be saved. And so thank you, dear Lord, for your grace upon us, and that's all that we have to offer to a lost and dying world. And we thank you that that is what will get the job done. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace is all that we have to offer to anyone. It doesn't matter if he is a Pharisaical type person, or it doesn't matter if she is a lady that is a sinner. It does not matter our station in life. It does not matter where we find ourselves up the ladder or of success, or where we find ourselves dealing with the things around us. That just simply doesn't matter, because every person, whether we're like this Pharisee or whether we're like this lady, every person that we come in contact that's outside of the grace of God, outside of the household of faith, they are all sinners that need to be born again. They need life that can be given to them only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is all that we have to make them any different. Now, there are some people in different areas and different societies and groups. There are some that say, well, we have to give them personal things that will help their life. And so we got to get their heart that way, and then we can give them the gospel. There are some that say, well, if we feed them, then that will bring them closer to the Lord, and that will help us get the job done. But I believe tonight the first and foremost thing that we need to do is to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world and have God to save their soul and to bring them to a full knowledge of repentance and faith in God, and God will use those things to help them come to know Him as a personal Savior. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with feeding and clothing people. There's nothing wrong with helping in certain areas of life for folks that do not have is what we have in America. But the foremost thing is that we give them the gospel. I've mentioned before, as Brother Solomon has said many times, and you have heard him say, said, the missionary didn't come to our village to teach us to plant corn or to plant beans. The missionary came to preach the gospel. And thank God the gospel is what gets the job done. And all that we have to offer anyone tonight is the grace of God preached by and through the grace and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As time goes on, we will find that this world is not going to get any better. It's going to wax worse and worse. We're going to find that sin will increase abundantly and continue on and on. There's no stopping point to it until the Lord comes again. Sin will increase, and the suffering of the believer, that seems to be the badge of the child of God, the suffering saint, those that will stand and serve and do the work of the Lord. Sometimes they have to suffer many, many things. As I read that mission letter tonight from many years ago, what suffering they had to go through to get the job done and to establish churches. And thank God some of those churches are still active and vibrant and don't even know who maybe was the founder, the starter of that church, but a man some hundreds of years ago knew the call of God upon his life and went from England there to China, preached the gospel, and that church is still there. Thank the Lord for that, but there's a lot of suffering involved. So sin is going to increase, and with that comes the suffering of the believer. And you can rest assured that the Scriptures will continue to be attacked. There's not going to be any retreat or withdrawal from the attack of the Word of God. It continues on. It has from the very beginning, from the time Satan said, hath God said, to our day in which we live. The attack, the questions of the Word of God, the Word of God is always questioned by the enemy, and that's going to continue. And we have to fight the battle. We have to get into the work of God. Satan will continue to wage an all-out war against us. We're in a battle. It's not just a a little showtime, but we're in a real battle for the souls of mankind. And Satan certainly will continue to wage an all-out war against us. And sinners will be just as hard to reach tomorrow as they were yesterday. It's not an easy task. We look and say, why can't they believe? Why don't they believe? It's not an easy task. There's a struggle that goes on for the souls of mankind. And so the sinner will be hard to reach, but that does not lessen our responsibility. We are to reach out to them. We are to go and tell them. We are to give them the gospel. We're to spread the good news. And by the way, that's all we have to give them. That's the only thing that will change their destiny. That's the only thing that will change their life. That's the only thing that will change their family and their communities. It's the gospel. It's the only thing we have to offer is the grace of God. We do have the remedy, and we are to offer it to all sinners. Grace is like an ocean, and it's there available. It's there to be used. For the grace of God gives us acceptance of the unworthy. Tonight, the Bible tells us that we've been accepted in the Beloved, and we of all people were unworthy. There's nothing I can bring. No good thing do I have. Nothing I can offer whereby His grace to claim. I don't have those things, but thank God one day He made me accepted. One day He made me feasible and right and usable in the work of God. One day we use the terminology that the Bible says, one day we were born again. And the Scripture says you must be born again. There's no way around that. There's no circle, there's no curve, there's no hill, there's no valley, there's nothing. You've got to go straight toward, you must be born again. And so we've got the remedy to offer to these Pharisaical sinners and these sinner people that live in sin. Now, the Pharisee, he had a clean, upright life, but he was a sinner. The lady, they probably wouldn't have called her a lady because indication that she lived in sin. And so here we have a clean, well-to-do person, and we have a dirty, not so well-to-do woman. But the same thing she needed was what he needed. And she wasn't any worse a sinner than he was. Somebody says, how many sins does it take for a person to be condemned to hell? We are sinners by nature, by choice, by practice, everything about. We are headed toward hell the moment we're born. And when we come to an age that we understand, we are responsible to respond to the message of gospel. So it doesn't matter if we're up and out, good. It doesn't matter if we are outstanding citizens. It doesn't matter if we're low down, dirty, ungodly people. We need the same thing. And that grace of God, that message of the gospel, makes us acceptable. It makes us accepted of Him. Now, I could never become acceptable by my good works. There's not enough good works to make me be acceptable to God. There's not enough money in the world. We used to say there's not enough gold in Fort Knox, and I doubt there's any there now, so we don't use that anymore. And there's not enough money in this world to buy what God gives us as free. So we can't work for it. We can't buy it. It has to be a gift that is received from the Lord. And that makes us, that are unworthy, that makes us accepted. That the Lord would accept our life and He would accept us. And we are in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing of grace not only makes us accepted, but it also gives us blessings for a curse. We are under the curse of ungodliness. We're under the curse of sin. We're under the curse of being guilty because of sin, and because the human race has been thrown headlong into the sinful natures and lives of this world by the choice of Adam and Eve, and so therefore I'm cursed. This world is cursed. The Bible says the world curses, it moans because of the cursing. But the grace of God gives us a blessing. The grace of the Lord offers us outstanding life. The grace of God offers us pardon, we that are guilty. Here the Bible says in verse 42, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Here this parable that the Lord tells this Pharisee by the name of Simon, he said there's two people that owed. One owed a lot, one didn't owe so much, but he forgave them both. He took care of the need that they had. What it was, they were pardoned. I'm glad, thank God, I've been pardoned. Have life forever eternal because the Lord wiped it away. He made it as it never happened. He put it in His forgetfulness and never to be remembered against me ever again. I've been pardoned. And that's what we have to offer to the world. You see, the only thing that we can do is offer cleansing to the polluted. This world has been polluted by sin. I don't think I have to take too much time to convince you of that. This old world is polluted because of sin. And there's only one way that will cleanse that, and one thing that will cleanse that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we have cleansing for a polluted world, a polluted people around us. Everywhere we go, there's pollution. The environmentalists, they worry about the pollution of the air. They worry about the pollution of the ground. Or they're worried about the pollution in the water. They're worried about all kind of pollution. Well, the pollution I'm talking about is the pollution of the heart. It is a spiritual pollution. It is a terrible condition of a person without the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And that the blood of Christ hath cleansed us from all sin. The Lord has cleansed us from the polluted life that we live and cleansed us from a polluted heart. And the Scripture tells us He gives us a brand new heart and He opens up a way for us. That's all we have to offer. We certainly cannot offer the world things. We can't offer the world money. We can't offer the world, a lot of churches have tried this and gone broke, we can't offer the same kind of buildings that the world has. We can't offer what the world offers. But by the way, those things don't matter anyway. Those things do not make a person right with God. What makes a person right with God is that his heart be taken care of by the Lord. What makes him right and makes him holy is this thing of grace that we offer and cleansing us from sin. That's what happened to this creditor that had these two debtors. He forgave them. He took care of their debt. He washed it away and He took care of that. And that's what Christ did for me one day. And if you're a Christian, that's what Christ has done for you. He washed you clean as snow. We that were our sins red like crimson, He's made white as snow. So all we have to offer is cleansing. We can't offer money. We don't offer cash. We don't. Now, there's some churches, every once in a while, they'll all put a dollar under the seat if you'll come see if you can find it. But that's not kosher. Hey, if you offer a dollar one Sunday, you better offer five the next one. Hadn't been too long ago, I heard church had $100 bills and few seats, and whoever sat there got the $100 bill. That'll get you a crowd, but when they get that $100 bill, you've lost them. That's over. But we have nothing to offer. We can't buy our way to the hearts of people. But I'll tell you what, the grace of God can break the bars. The gospel can break down those barriers. The gospel can open the heart, and the gospel can cleanse that individual of pollution and make him a righteous soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. So all we can do is offer cleansing. All that we can do through grace is to offer deliverance. We've been delivered from a great death, the Bible says. We've been delivered. And the Bible says He has delivered us from a great death. He has done it. He is doing it. And then it says, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Well, that's future. He's delivered me in the past. He's delivering me right now. Thank God He's going to yet deliver us. One of these days he's going to deliver us out of this old wicked, polluted world. We're going to be with him forever. So there's deliverance for the captive. This world has been caught and made captive by sin and by Satan, and the heart of man has been so given over to ungodliness that he is bound by his chains of sin. Oh, but grace can break it. Grace can make it right. Grace can change it. And the gospel is the only thing that will make a difference. Romans chapter 1 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should never be ashamed of what the Lord's done for us. And we should never back up on the message of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe. It was offered to the Jew, but thank God it's also offered to the Greek or the Gentile, offered to you and I. And it's the power of God unto salvation. So we can offer through grace, we can offer cleansing, we can offer a deliverance, and we can even offer the grace for the prodigal. The prodigal there in Luke chapter 15. Here this father says to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. My son which was dead is now alive. And so here we find that there's grace for those that would come unto him. The prodigal that is returning back home, there's grace given for that individual. That's all we can offer. When a person's outside the will of God, you can't buy their way back. You can't beg their way back. You can go to their door and you can knock on their door all you want to, and you can talk until you're blue in the face, and it'll not make one bit of difference until the Lord gets hold of their heart. By the way, that's the same way of salvation. You can talk as long as you want to talk to a sinner until God breaks his stubborn will. You're doing what you're supposed to do, and God will reward you for that. But the only thing we can do is offer the message. It is God. It is Jesus. It's the Lord that breaks the heart. And so the grace of God is there for the prodigal, for that one that has gone astray, that has gone away from God. And here the Father, there in Luke 15, that represents God, he said, this my son was dead, now he's alive. He said, put on him the best robe. Put on him a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. Dress him up like a son. Well, I'm glad, thank God, there's grace for the deliverance of those of us sometimes when we get away from God. Deliverance. That's all grace. Then fourthly, all that we can offer people is an inheritance that is a spiritual inheritance. We don't have anything to offer people that's not spiritual. We don't have things of this world. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. That's what's waiting us. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Well, I like that kind of reservation. I've got a reservation to go up to Brother Leo's in May. You know what? I've got two or three warnings or alerts on my email. Your reservation has been changed. Now, I despise it when I get that. I want to know when I get up. I want to know when I get there. I want to know when I'm supposed to arrive. And it says, check your trip ever so often. And so the reservation, something on it has been changed. It may be a 5-minute difference or whatever it is, but they want you to know it's been changed. Well, my reservation in heaven hadn't been changed. Praise the Lord, it's there. It's fixed, it's settled forever. And the Bible says here, it's in heaven. Where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves are not going to break through and steal. It is reserved for us in heaven. And so all that we have to offer the poor beggar is not the bread of not bread for the body, but it's the bread of life. It's not water for the thirsty, it's the water for the spiritual thirsty. It's the grace of God that we have to offer to them. This is the only way that you're going to have an inheritance. This is the only way that you're going to have blessings of God. So, really and truly, all we have to offer is grace. There's nothing complicated about that. There's nothing hard about that. It's just grace. Then number five, we have enrichment for the poor. That's what we can offer. Now, we maybe can't go buy them a wardrobe of clothes, but he that was rich was made poor that I might be made rich. The Bible tells us that through his poverty I might be made rich. Oh, thank God tonight. We don't have anything. Outside of God, this world has nothing. But one day, the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he lay aside all the things of heaven. And he came to this old wicked world, and he was birthed by way of the virgin and was laid in a little old stall, little manger. The world didn't even consider too much about it, but the angels did. The world didn't know what was going on, but the angels announced it to the shepherds, and they knew what had taken place. And Herod heard about it, and so he wanted to destroy him. All those things took place, but all that we have to do, it's because Jesus came one day and he offered himself a ransom for those of us that would believe upon him. And we that believe, though we were poor, we might be made rich. The verse reads like this: For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a wonderful verse. He that had it all, owned it all, and still does. And by the way, when he was here, he still owned it all. That never did change. But he laid aside his riches and he came into poverty that he might offer me one day that I might be rich. And it's all we have to offer people by grace. The grace of the Lord. Only thing we can give to folks that need the Lord, they're miserable, they're undone, they're unkept, they have no hope, but I can offer them joy through the grace of God. I can offer them a joy. The Bible says when the angels came, they said, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's been the message of the Lord ever since. It's good tidings. These folks that we read about tonight in Brother Simeonson's letter, that was good tidings that came to them back as early as 1893 from his family. Back as early as 1805 from that unknown missionary. Those are good tidings. That's joyful news. And now China, the great giant that she is a country that has multitudes of Christian people. Now we don't hear that on CNN. You're not going to hear it. You won't even hear it on Fox. But there are multitudes of wonderful Christian people in that land that is unknown to so many of us. Some of them do meet in secret for fear. Some of them have registered their church. And like he said, some of those churches are controlled by the state, but there are some of them that they register so they can have the gospel out in the open. And so far they've been permitted. Now it may close in on them one day, but thank the Lord for the gospel that's given. Offering of joy. And then lastly, the only thing we have to offer is grace, and through that, we have heaven for our hell-deserving soul. We have a place that's not only called heaven, it's the place of heaven. There is a difference. A place called heaven, that's sort of, we can say a lot of things about that, but the Bible says there's a place that is heaven. And where Jesus is, by the way, is heaven. And so we have to offer folks tonight. And he has delivered us, the Bible says, from the power of darkness. And he's translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. And one of these days we'll be taken to the very presence of our Lord. And it's all because somebody had only one thing to offer to me. The pastor of our church, he had only one thing to offer, and that was grace. The pastors of churches all across this country that are standing true to the Lord Jesus Christ, we only have one thing to offer. We can't offer popularity. We can't offer riches. We can't offer goods. But we can offer grace. And by that offering of grace, that hell-deserving soul has now been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of His dear Son, and one day we'll be ushered into His very presence. And we'll fall upon our face. We'll look upon Him. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that what crowns we might have in this life, we'll cast them at His feet. Because everything we've ever done, everything that we'd ever accomplish is because of what the Lord did for us that day He came. And lay aside His loveliness, and lay aside His riches, and lay aside His kingdom. And He came to this whole world to die. Jesus, when He was born, He knew where He was going to end up. Somebody, I get so tired of some of these songs we hear. Some of them are so very unscriptural. Jesus, when He came, He knew what He was going to do. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment deal. He came to die. And when He died, He offered a way of escape. He made it possible. And those Old Testament saints that had believed upon Him, that the Bible says they believed God and it was accounted unto them for righteousness, oh, they look forward. Their Messiah is coming. Their Messiah is coming. Praise God when He came. Now we look back and say, He's been here. He offered Himself a ransom. He offered Himself forgiveness. He gave out the grace of God. Now one day soon, I believe He's coming again. And when He comes, we'll be translated from this world to that world. Twinkling of an eye, we'll be in His presence. And it's all because of one thing. Grace. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to tell the world Jesus saves. That's the only important thing. The world needs to hear about Jesus. The world needs to know Him. The world needs to get in contact with Him. The world needs to know how to do that. And the only way they can know how is somebody that has the truth. Take it to them. Tell them the story of the gospel of the grace of God. May God help us tonight to be people that love the Lord, and all we have to offer is this book that's full of grace. That's all of it. Nothing else do we have. Let's stand together tonight.